If you want to spice up any occasion, bring the sabor with Modelo Chelada. A mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold fruit flavors, and a hint of spice. Bring the heat with Sandia Picante, a taste of the tropics with mango y chile, or the citrus burst of limón y sal. There's bold flavor in every can. Modelo Chelada. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who never has to work on his fake smile during Big Brother season. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sunday Night Big Brother Recap, talking about Derek X's HOH win and nominations and what's to come this week in Big Brother 23. We've got another fun panel here to talk about it all here on a Sunday night. Back with a man who is never napping, unlike Derek F. Here is the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
So happy to be here and not napping.
Yes. Yes. Taryn, no, with more enthusiasm.
Really happy to be here.
All right. I'll buy it.
Is it good? Did I do
we'll
it? It?
Yeah. We'll buy it.
Okay.
Yeah. Taryn, how are you doing?
Doing well, you know, ready to talk about the Sunday night. I feel like the Sunday night episodes have been some of my favorites this season so far. I'm excited. I'm interested to see, what you thought of the episode, Rob.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I felt like that, you know, it was half eaten up by the competition. So I feel like that, I don't have a million things to talk about because we got so much of the competition that we already knew. So I feel like we only got like half an episode tonight.
See, that's interesting to me because I really enjoyed the competition this time around. And the second half I thought was not as interesting to me.
Okay. All right. Well, a lot to discuss then tonight. Of course, Taryn and I and Shannon Gus got to talk about the seventh best season of all time, Survivor Winners at War. I really enjoyed our conversation last night, Taryn, talking about the pros and cons of Survivor Winners at War.
Yes, it was very fun. Always great to talk to Shannon about, you know, strategy and Survivor or really whatever. The three of us, I thought, made for a very fun panel to talk through a very great season, in my opinion. We've gotten a lot of good feedback it so far.
Good. I hope people continue to check that out all week long. Winners at War, pros and cons. I was very proud of the podcast. I thought it came out really great. All right. But back to Big Brother. Okay. And very excited to have back with us tonight. It's our host of the Married at First Sight wrap up. It's Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I would like a number one with lettuce, tomato, ketchup. Mm. Oh, wait.
No, Aisha, you already ordered. We do not take any substitutions. Mm. We made a deal.
Yeah. Well, my bad.
You cannot supersize the deal.
Is your ice cream machine working?
We have an app for that. Okay. Aisha, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I enjoyed the episode. I was really looking forward to it since we didn't have the wild card comp. Mm-hmm. And so I knew we were going to get some of these like little segments that we don't normally get to see. So I enjoyed it. Yeah. And I enjoyed watching the comp too, getting to hear their thoughts about when they plan to drop and when they weren't going to drop.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to talking about it all here with you tonight. And very excited to have back with us. It's Kelsey Bresmondi. Kelsey, how are you?
Hi, I'm so glad to be back, and I'm doing great. I also thought tonight's episode was really fun, so I'm excited to talk about it with you guys.
Yes, Kelsey, I was thinking of you during the episode when Derek X talked about the Big Brother burger joint, as you are the inventor of car nuggets.
Car chicken.
Yes.
We really enjoy the fast food, the finer things. In my household. So the car chicken, the car kolaches, it's all enjoyed by my family on a regular basis.
Okay. Kelsey, how are you enjoying Big Brother 23 so far?
A lot. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying this week. And I was reminded tonight that Brittany's a kindergarten teacher. For some reason, I just always forget that. My oldest is about to go into kindergarten, and I can only hope that she will have a teacher like Brittany.
Yes. What does she do that you would like to see in the teacher of your children?
You know, the enthusiasm
is
always fun, keeping the energy up. But I really do. I always forget that. And then I just saw it tonight when she was on the wall comp. It just said underneath, like, kindergarten teacher. And I was just like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine Brittany going back to her job. Like a kid is upset. You know, they have to go to Brittany. Like, hey, the other kids are being mean to me. She says, you know what you do? You go and you win that veto competition. You show them. What veto competition?
Yes.
All right. Well, excited to have you all here with us tonight. We are going to talk about everything from tonight's episode, and we'll get into From Beyond on the live feeds as well in this episode. If you want to send us some questions, you always can do that at robinswebsite.com/bbquestions. On Monday, I'll be back on The Slop with the patrons of Robin's Podcast. Puya Zambakili will join me to co-host, and we will have a lot of coverage from the Big Brother boxing event from over the weekend. Matt Scott and Mari Forth from the Wrestling Wrap Up will stop by to talk about the event. And our on-the-ground reporters, Chappelle and Jacob Jones, will also stop by for a report of what they saw at the Big Brother boxing event. I'm sure we'll talk some Big Brother 23 as well. If you have any links for us to check out, robinswebsite.com/getsloppy. Okay. Our big HOH competition that played out on the live feeds. I had so much fun on Thursday night getting to watch it live here on the podcast. Taryn, what were some of the big takeaways that we got from seeing this HOH competition play out with the diary rooms?
You know, it was, for me, it was just like the fact that they had this competition, the way that they structured it was that we basically got to hear from every single person on the cast. And just their thought process going in, what the competition meant to them, and what their thoughts were, their strategy was when it came to winning or not winning, and what they might have done. And so getting to hear all of that in an episode felt really good, even from, you know, somebody who kind of has an idea of where they're thinking already. It just feels more epic to me when I'm like reminded that every single one of these people has their own plan for their own game. That's not just like the, you know, it's the cookout riding to the end. Like, no, everybody here is like got their own thing going on. And so that was really fun. I don't think there was anything that was too surprising in terms of, you know, what we were hearing. Xavier did say after the fact that he said to some people that he was waiting for Alyssa to drop. But in the diary room, it sounded like he actually kind of wanted Alyssa to win. You know, that's not too surprising given that he tries to make a deal with Derek X after the fact. For his team, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
And Alyssa felt like that Xavier would drop for her, she also said. So if she could have just gotten Derek X to drop, that she would have, she felt like that she would have been able to get Xavier to drop out. Kelsey, let me ask you, as a parent, do you have any sort of intense feelings about green slime?
You know, if they had called it anything but vomit, I would have really appreciated it. Just the fact that it was like the seasick slime. I was grossed out. I was like, can we call this like oil from the crew? Or I don't know, something else. I was like, this is just so gross. They could have made it worse. I feel like they could have made it grosser.
Like Exxon Valdez, like,
it's
a very dark, like ecological disaster at that point.
I mean, I saw a fire in the ocean this summer, so I feel like green slime could happen too.
It could have been like people spilling their drinks.
Yes, I love that one.
Rob, I need you to. Did Dominic watch this episode?
Yes. Yes.
Did he think it was amazing that it was people vomiting?
No, he didn't really have any sort of
if a little boy doesn't enjoy this, then nobody does, Big Brother. Why are we doing it?
Yeah.
I understand needing something that's not water, like something that's not the something that like you can't really see very well, messes up your vision, which I have a goggle theory about this competition that I'm happy to dive into.
Please.
But I understand that you need something to kind of throw them off visually, but it doesn't have to be vomit.
What's the goggle theory?
Okay. So Derek X had the biggest goggles. They covered so much of his face because of his glasses that he needed underneath. Like, I wonder if that helped make him feel stable, because I saw Alyssa chose not to wear goggles and I saw everybody else had smaller goggles because they didn't have to cover up their glasses. So I wonder if it helped him feel stable.
Yeah, because they do give, like, when they want to make it they want to simulate like drunk driving when you're like learning about it, they give you goggles, right? And then you like walk and, or maybe hey, not drunk
tell
driving.
Me more about
That's
this drunk goggle simulation.
I feel like I'm thinking college. I don't know if I'm thinking college or high school, but there was a point in time where can put on beer goggles and then walk through like a maze. And
that was
like,
also on Big Brother once.
Oh yeah.
They had beer goggles. Yeah. Like threw them off. Yeah. Maybe it's a Texas thing, but I'm with you, Asia.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like this is common.
It can impact, I think, your balance. And obviously balance was decently important here. Derek was able to really hold himself up against the wall with his back all the way up against the wall for most of the competition. Whereas Alyssa, I think, there near the end, you know, and obviously this is going to come down to like shoulder, arm and core strength as well. But she ends up tipping forward and it seemed like she kind of slipped forward a little bit. And then once she was in that position, she talked about it later, her grip just gave out. You know, she's holding all of her weight on just, you know, her fingers at that point, and the angle's not very good and there's slime dripping down it. So staying upright was definitely the better move if you can maintain that position. And I'm sure that like having good enough vision to see around you was beneficial for that.
Yeah, our own Sam Moore backstage is saying that Alex Willett had beer goggles as a punishment in Big Brother OTT.
Fair. Okay.
There we go.
For our historians. I had no idea that beer goggles actually were a thing and not just like an expression.
No,
I've only known them in like the metaphorical sense.
There's a market for it.
Video category of like people doing things with beer goggles. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay. Asia, do you have any thoughts on the competition and how it played out?
Yeah, I was glad that they had those little pegs so that people couldn't scrouch down, because that always, favored the smaller house guests or shorter house guests. I really liked Claire's DR. And she was like, you know, I have to win this. I have to win. She's like, no, I don't. I'm safe till jury. So I was wondering that about Claire, if like that was a choice to go out at 29 minutes or if she could have lasted longer. And it was like, why go on longer? So I was glad to see that from her. But yeah, I enjoyed it overall. It's your typical wall comp.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey, anything else that you learned during the wall competition?
I don't know. I think that was good. I feel like I want to talk about later or whenever about the deals that were made and like adding to the deal, and then like how much of that is valid, you know, because I was just like shaking my head. But no, I thought it was a good wall comp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, I think that the timing of the deals were interesting in this episode. I think that there was like a lot of like after the fact, like what constitutes a wall deal? Like did it have to be agreed upon? We saw that Alyssa fell down really before that her deal was in processing at the point that she fell down. And I think there was some question of was that deal valid? Xavier made a deal, but then tried to put some stipulations on his deal after the fact.
Lawyer.
Yeah. Classic lawyer move. Surprised that if Derek F hears about this, it's going to be over for Xavier.
Yeah. The laws of Big Brother state that when you're on a wall and you want to make a deal, first of all, the deal is only valid for yourself. You can't make a deal for other people. That doesn't count. Second, you need to remove yourself from the wall of your own volition. You cannot fall off of the wall and still get your deal. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Third, obviously, once you're off the wall, you'd have no more negotiating power. You cannot renegotiate any of the deal. And then fourth, you can bounce checks in the Big Brother house and none of it matters anyway.
None of it matters anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was so bizarre. I'm like, okay, might as well go up to the HOH room afterwards and go ahead and say, okay, so also, you're not going to put up Tiffany. You should put up these people as well. It was just like, no. And you could tell, I think X knew in the moment, just saying it, this isn't valid. But he wanted to be able to say to the Kings after, like, oh, I was looking out for you. Because he's like, yeah, the Kings, the whole team, right? We're good, right, Dill? Like, no room for Derek X to be like, well, no, we could talk about it.
It was funny, too, because he was saying in the diary room or wherever that, like, oh, I didn't want to say it in front of everybody. I didn't want to include the Kings in front of everybody. But then later he was like, because I said it in front of everybody, it might be bad for your game not to. So it's like, which one is it?
Right. You know, I don't know if anybody really talked about this last week, but I feel like that strategically the Kings really misplayed the last HOH competition, because hear me out. They had to do this puzzle together, and then whoever put the last piece of the puzzle was the person who would have been the HOH. Asia, had Sarah Beth or Alyssa been the person to place the last piece of the puzzle, who would have been maybe more unlikely contenders to win HOH than Christian or Xavier, then Christian would have had the ability to play in this HOH comp.
Yeah, exactly. And I think so that for one, they weren't clear on the rules. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, they had no idea. We had no idea that the last person, it was just like the camera wasn't even on them. And then it was like, oh, yeah, I was under the same assumption that they were, that they were going to get to pick the HOH.
Yeah.
And so then when it was like, oh, Christian, it was just like kind of, just like Xavier the week before, like, oh, accidentally getting HOH. So, and I know it was killing Christian not to play in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really wanted to do the wall. No, I think they knew that whoever finished it. The problem was that Christian did 3/4 of that whole thing. And it was also very close, because Derek was about to finish, or was very close to finishing for the Aces. And so he didn't really have the ability. Certainly it would have been much better, though, if he had just been able to hold the last piece and be like, Alyssa, come do this. They're going to have to look back and regret not doing it.
Taryn, do you think that Christian would have been able to go the distance against Derek X?
I think so.
They might still be up there.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows how long Derek X has? But I think Christian has an advantage in that he is shorter, and he is, I don't think like that much heavier either. So I think that Christian definitely would have been in here for a while. And even beyond that, Christian would have had the ability to make a deal on his way down off the wall if it didn't work. And that may have dissuaded Derek from doing what he intends to do. Right. So those things definitely could have, either winning or just being on the wall could help.
Okay. Well, Derek X, he is going to be the last one up there with Xavier. Xavier gets safety for himself and then jumps down. Kelsey, tries it very smoothly. Oh, by the way, also, the Kings are safe too.
Yeah, that does not work. You cannot do that. No. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But Derek, I feel like Derek X is so kind. Like, I feel like it would have been so uncomfortable for him. Like, Taryn, whenever you just said that if Christian had an opportunity to be up there, I don't know if Derek could have been like, no, no deal. Like, I feel like he's someone that just wants to be so agreeable. And I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I can understand why, you know, this week might be tricky for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was one of my favorite moments of the whole episode. It's so funny to me to watch Xavier go up there. So serious, too. Like no hint of like, oh, and I forgot to mention the Kings. What about that? Like, and the Kings, too. Save the whole team.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Like, he's completely off. They're both off the wall at this point. No hint of irony in it at all. It was so funny.
Yeah. Asia, that I think I'm going to try to use this in my real life and just like slip into like everyday transactions. Like, oh, and also watch my kids this weekend. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is thank you for the coffee at Starbucks.
Right. Exactly. Or even, yeah, you're at Starbucks, you get your drink and then you pay. And then you grab a water. Oh, by the way, I'm going to grab this bottled water. I'm going to get this apple juice too. Thanks. I'm a way out.
No, my husband does that. My husband will get his Chipotle order. And then like at the very end, after he pays, like, oh wait, I need a soda. And then sometimes they just hand him a cup. And I'm like, you can't do that. You have to tell them ahead of time.
It's like, I gotta go in. But you're like, all right, I got to bring up a whole new trans. All right, fine. Right. The deal. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Derek X is a nice guy, Taryn. Maybe maybe he's that nice.
I mean, he did say, yeah. He was like, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Derek X and Hannah, they end up celebrating and sliding around in the slime. And, you know, that was a very cute moment between the two of them. They're going to have their diary room celebration. Taryn, we only got to see one diary room or one storage room celebration in this episode.
I know there were a lot of them. They really could have played this up if they wanted to. But I guess instead we had to see Big D napping.
Mm-hmm.
and as a space.
Yes. We'll get to Big D taking some naps. But all right, the Kings are going to have a meeting. And we find out that, hey, good news, everybody. Sarah Beth was able to clear the air with Hannah over everything from last week. Asia, we got to see this from Sarah Beth's perspective. We didn't really get to see too much of it from Hannah's perspective. We saw Hannah say to the camera, like, I don't know what to think with this. But Sarah Beth felt very good about how, hey, yes, I campaigned to get Hannah out of the house all week long, but 5 hours before the eviction, I cleared the air. Woo!
Yeah, it's like I spent 36 solid hours pressing home why Hannah should leave, especially before jury. But then I had a 5-minute conversation with Hannah beforehand, squashed. We're good to go. I think it's funny that they didn't show Hannah's POV. I think it's funny that, or not power veto, but like point of view, because like the probably the most indifferent she was in that camera talking. But if we would have saw a diary room, it would have been very clear that it's like, no, I would prefer that Sarah Beth leaves in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Kelsey, what did you think about Sarah Beth here?
Well, first of all, I don't really understand why we have to talk at the shower all the time. Like, yeah. I have to think you're a little like, how can you fully focus on a conversation if you're like trying to also shower? I don't know. I don't really understand the appeal of the shower talk, you know, which is where she chose to tell her team that her and Hannah are maybe okay. But you know, I'm glad she had the conversation. I'm glad that there was effort, you know,
especially when you have to like, in order to hear, you have to get close enough to where you're to get close enough to the person that's in the shower to where you have a clear line of sight to too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
No.
It's not my favorite. And the audio is terrible always. Yeah. But it's because they all go to shower after the, you know, the competitions. And then so there's usually talk to be had after the competition.
But I think that the splashing water, I think, is part of the appeal, where I think it helps like obfuscate mm-hmm. the like sneaky conversation. I think that that is like part of it. If anybody like walks in, it's just like, oh, we're just talking like at the shower. It's not like strategy talk.
We're not being secretive. It's just a casual shower conversation like we always do.
Mm-hmm. Shower chatting.
Right.
Super normal.
You know, if this happens at my house and my wife is asking me a question, I'm like, I'm in the shower. Get out of here.
It's like, unless you're saying, when I see you, I see home, I don't want to hear it in the shower.
Yeah. Right? Okay. All right, we got Derek X talking to Tiffany and Claire, and a little bit, Taryn, of Tiffany talking about how a little upset that Xavier doesn't want to go after Kings.
Yeah, you know, there is a little bit of a push and pull here with Tiffany and Xavier. She's really hoping that she is getting him on board with her plans, which are sort of disguised as the cookout plans in general. What is he doing trying to protect the Kings? Like, what's going on there? Why is he so attached to the Kings when he should be loyal to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Isha, why can't Xavier just have a thing with the Kings?
I love that. Well, from Tiffany's perspective, she was trying to like appeal to Derek X, like, you should be a little bit more upset about this, because look, you lost two team members and he's sitting here with all three of his.
Yeah, one was Brent.
The nerve of Xavier to try to keep everybody safe. But yeah, it's just a matter of priority. She's like, if he's looking out for them, he's not talking about me being safe. I need to be higher in the pecking order in his heart over the King. So we can't have that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great point about how you've had to lose your team members, bringing mm-hmm. it back around. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, the thinker.
She's very much so. She is a thinker. She's normally a thinker, I should say. So she's talking with Derek X and Hannah, and she's eating one of two different bowls of cereal that we see her in back to back. My son said, wow, Tiffany really likes cereal, because she's eating, she had a bowl of Fruit Loops and then like a bowl of like healthy cereal. I don't know which happened first, but she's talking with Derek X and says, you could ride the Royal Flush. Royal Flush is a thing. Has like Royal Flush.
Yeah. Well, that's not exactly it. About the cereal though, very quickly. I think, Tiffany is a big fan of Dan Gysling. Dan Gysling famously gave advice to a player before entering the house, that player, cereal Matt Kleins. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think she's trying to get closer to Dan. She's going to drop the Royal Flush. This is because she says later that she trusts Hannah so much. She feels like she's brought Hannah into all of her things that she forgot that Hannah wasn't in all of her things. Mm-hmm. And just outright said it.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a mistake.
I just want to apologize to the listeners for being a little slow on the draw on my Matt Kleins sound clip. So.
What were you trying to do?
Necessary.
Sorry about that, everybody. Okay. But the Royal Flush, gets revealed to Hannah, and Hannah's like, hey, what's going on? And Derek X tries to clear it up. H, don't worry, it was just made last week.
Right. And I was just brought into it, 1 week thing. And then the fact that he's in the DR saying, I think she 100% bought that.
Yeah.
I was like, you didn't do an amazing job selling that. But like, a 1 week deal does not have an official name mm-hmm. that has verbs associated with it. He's like, yeah, the Royal Flush is flushed.
Like, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. A 1 week agreement has a solid name. But I thought it was hilarious that he thought that he did a great job. And then she's like, I'm going to just keep this in my back pocket. I think she handled this wonderfully, because let Azza have been the one to accidentally find out about the royal flush. Oh my, you wouldn't have heard the end of it.
Yeah. Taryn, did in any part of the Tiffany and Hannah conversation, did Tiffany say like, well, look, Derek X doesn't know about the cookout. So, you know, like there's like, you know, you didn't know about this. He didn't know about this. You're fine.
I don't believe so. No. Although it is a pretty good point. But I think honestly, maybe not a good point for Tiffany to bring up because it only, further sort of like isolates her as like the holder of all information and, not Derek X. You know, you want to sort of blame Derek X as much as possible with you. So you don't really want to exonerate him. This was also just such a funny moment.
Yes.
Tiffany
in the diary room.
It's when Hannah asks Tiffany,
yes,
so about the royal flush, did Christian or Alyssa start that? And Tiffany's like, who told you about the royal flush? He told you about the royal flush. Like she is about to rip Derek X's head off. I can't believe this guy went behind my back to rat out our alliance to Hannah. No, you did.
Yeah. Oh. And the way she just touches Hannah, like, girl, I totally forgot. She was like, when we were sitting over there, oh my, it was just watching the thought process. Like she was instantly thinking like, oh my gosh, yes, Derek X told her. And then thinking like, you are right. I am the one that told you. She just like, okay.
Yeah. It must be so hard. You know, you have all these deals and like, you know, you don't have like a notepad to like write down like, okay, here are my notes for this day. Here's what I told this person. And I'm sure it's like, wait, did I ever like come clean to this person about this thing? So it's a lot of balls in the air for poor Tiffany.
I bet it's a relief too. It's like now Hannah knows. So yes. You don't have, that's one less secret you have to keep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can sometimes be confusing trying to keep track of like who knows what when you're outside of the house. Like wait, doesn't Xavier know about this plan? Like, oh no, I guess he didn't. I forgot. Like, you know, it can be tricky to keep track of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Kelsey, we finally got to see, Tiffany, in the diary room, mad at herself, cursing at herself.
You know, she just, you know, she's keeping a lot of balls in the air. She's doing a lot of things. She needs to give herself, cut herself a little slack. I think it's going to be okay. I think Hannah's fine. Hannah's handling it well, like Asia said. And I really like how Derek X was just like, okay, so here's what it is. Like he wasn't, I feel like he handled the relationship well too, like kind of covering for what happened. Like I feel like they all, it was a mistake, but I feel like they're all, their relationships are all still okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even for like, and it, yeah, this hasn't been on the episode, but whenever Hannah found out about the name of the cookout from Azza, like if you even compare those two situations, Azza just completely tried to lie about it. Yeah, it's just what I call it in my head. It's like, that's not believable.
So,
it's just like, I love how Derek X played this.
Okay. We got to see Azza and Big D, and Azza apparently gives everything away with her face. I mean, this has come up plenty, Taryn, already on the first month of Big Brother about how Azza cannot seem to hide her displeasure with things not going her way. And when, you know, she's upset about something, like she makes it quite obvious. She has no poker face.
Yes. Big D scolds her about it because she can't even pretend. Rob, it's very frustrating for Big D. But yeah, I mean, this has been, you know, Azza's, one of Azza's problems in the game is that, she's somebody who comes into the house talking about like, she wants to keep it real. And she doesn't like not being real.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. And, you know, I think it's less so that she's not capable of putting the smile on, more so that like, she just really doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Asia, if Azza is feeling something, you know, she has to express it, just like her middle school crush to Xavier.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She couldn't hide that.
There's no hiding any way she feels. You know, she doesn't like something. You know, she's disgusted by something. And I'm like, why don't you want to? Why don't you understand that that is something that will help you in the game? Because it's just so transparent. You know what you're going to get with her, which could be a good thing, but she's not thinking about it that way. She's just thinking of, I don't want to be fake. It's like, no, you just need to take some lessons from other people in the house who can put on a face and then tell how they really feel. Cause it's going to come back to bite her. There's no way it's not. Like, there's going to be something that happens that she's not able to fake the funk. And then boom, she's going to wish she knew how to.
Yeah. I can just imagine like her going up to Xavier, like, I'm sure you can read it all over my face right now. What, you're happy? No, my middle school crush on you. It's so obvious in my face. So you can read it all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why middle school? Like, why that specific age group? Like, that's, it's always the middle school crush. It's like, well, I don't know, 9th grade, 10th grade.
That's getting a little serious. That's getting too serious.
Yeah
you have serious. Like high school sweethearts out here.
Yeah. No, I have a suggestion for Azza. And okay, so she wants to be authentic. I understand. If something bothers her, my suggestion would be to authentically make it a positive scenario. Convince yourself in your brain, like, oh, somebody ate all of my favorite, let's say, you know, cereal. Tell yourself there was probably a hair in there. So it's fine. You know, make it, flip it around. It's fine. And then you're not going to be upset about it. Mm-hmm. Just authentically make it fine.
Yeah.
And then you're fine.
Okay, so how could...
Saying fine makes me feel like you're
not fine. Not fine. So, Kelsey, how could Azza spin this about that she has a middle school crush on Xavier and he is not interested in reciprocating in the house?
Well, just that he, you know, you could tell yourself there's a shot outside the house and then just like pause it for now. It's a middle school crush. So go to recess, go to lunchtime, take a pause. And then just like revisit it after you're out of the house. If it's a house issue, then just, you know, pause. Middle school crush. We're not serious right now. Just take a pause. Okay. It's fine.
In middle school right now. So until they are, table it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of Xavier, was there Xavier and Derek X? And Derek X is, meeting with Xavier, and Xavier wants to check in on his deal. And Asia, this is when we get Derek X giving us the line about this isn't the Big Brother burger joint.
Yeah. Can't just add it to your order.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was hilarious because we saw it play out and then we see Derek X have the conversation. So I'm glad this is what he was thinking. Like, you can't just come back and try to revise it or, you know, tack on a person. You're tacking on a whole 3 people. Sorry about the dogs. Every time I want to talk, they want to go at it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are. I'm so glad that Derek X saw it this way. I thought that was the best clip of the, or the best soundbite from the episode.
Yeah. Kelsey, they're talking through the targets and, Derek X is, talking about some of the kings that he would go, or go after. And he says, Alyssa is safe and Xavier is safe, which sort of narrows down who he's going for. And Xavier implies he would, be okay with Sarah Beth being the one to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him saying that he felt like having Christian around is a bigger threat in front of them. And that's how he was appealing to Derek X. And so I'm glad they were having this conversation. But I wonder if in this conversation, do y'all think this is Derek X like showing his cards too much to Xavier? Like, was this a necessary conversation?
So this conversation happens because Tiffany over the past week has talked Xavier into being willing to, not only willing to, but actively wanting to target Sarah Beth. She's been on this anti-Sarah Beth campaign. So she's been wanting to essentially replace Kyland in her endgame plans with Xavier. And she's been roping Xavier into getting rid of Sarah Beth to weaken Kyland. And she's been pulling him in. And she talked to Derek the night before this conversation. And she said, I know you don't have a relationship with Derek or with Xavier, and because Derek's like, yeah, I'd never talk to him. But I'm telling you, he'll be on board with whatever you want to do. He's not with the kings; like, he'll be with us. We should include him in our plans. And so Derek was thinking, like, okay, yeah, maybe I can pull Xavier in, and like Xavier can be, you know, part of the squad. And so this is Derek X trying to lay that foundation. Trying to sort of let Xavier know, like, hey, you know, essentially I've been told by Tiffany that you're cool. let's talk about this a little bit. And Xavier gave Derek very little in this conversation. Xavier is, turns out, not down for the Christian backdoor. And so the sort of like the bridge that Derek X was trying to build was denied. And I don't think this conversation went particularly well for Xavier, who was just a little bit behind when it came to the information.
So maybe it would have been better with Tiffany.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Tiffany had put in the work with Xavier beforehand, that would have helped as well. But Xavier, like, again, I think she genuinely thought that Xavier was down. She didn't realize until much later that Xavier was going to be holding on to Christian so much.
We go from talking about Sarah Beth to the meeting between Derek X and Sarah Beth. And obviously she wants the Royal Flush safe and tells Derek X that she also wants Hannah safe now that they have their agreement. I would like to just circle back to that quickly, because I talked about that they had that conversation, but I felt like, Kelsey, like the conversation between Sarah Beth and Hannah was like super awkward and like seemed like super like very surface level of like shaking hands of like, oh, I'm glad that we have come to this agreement that you are not my target for this week. it seemed like, how could Sarah Beth walk away from that feeling like, oh no, me and Hannah are good?
Like, it's like checking a box. It's like, okay, I had that conversation. Check. Yeah. I felt like in that moment it had to have been because she knows Derek X and Hannah are close.
Sure.
Like, surely it's not. But yeah, if Sarah Beth is really feeling like her and Hannah took just that one conversation, you know, that's great. That's a great way to make friends. Have one conversation, besties for the resties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tara, did you have any other thoughts on the Sarah Beth and Hannah flashback that we saw?
Not other than what you pointed out, which is that, I mean, Sarah Beth, who was pushing for Hannah to go so adamantly all week long, had two conversations with Hannah, and they were brief conversations.
Yes.
And they convinced her that now I'm good with everyone in the house and I should throw the HOH.
Yeah. And as you pointed out all week last week, when Sarah Beth is passionate about something, like she was like the most powerful force, like in those conversations, like Hannah must go. I am not kidding. To hear it's just like, yes, I'm glad that we have come to an agreement of non-aggression towards each other.
Yeah. And she was like genuinely on board too. Like, Sarah Beth, unfortunately, has not really been exercising her social ability outside of Kyland and the Kings too much. That she had developed something of a relationship with the Jokers, but not a game one. She came into the game saying she wanted to play a floater game. And the way that she sees the floater game, she talked about to the cameras a few weeks back, was, hey, I think Kyle and I have set ourselves up well enough that we can just coast for a while. We just can lie back, not win some competitions, and just chill, don't overplay, and we'll be fine. But what happened is she took her foot off the pedal, and now she's so far behind in so many situations, and she doesn't have a relationship to even build off of. So she's starting the game fresh almost at week five, at the end of week four, and starting a relationship with Hannah, who she's never bothered to develop one with. And she's just way, way far behind here.
Asia, we got a lot of questions from Derek X tonight asking players, would you be willing to go up as a pawn?
Yes. And Sarah Beth's reaction was, she's like, I'm going to be honest with you, I would be pissed. I remember watching that on the feeds and I was just like, I mean, let's work it a little bit. Like, okay, I may not be thrilled, but if you can, like, if you want me to be a part of a plan, maybe we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. It was just like a hard stop. Like, no, I would be actually be pretty pissed off. So I thought that was funny. Yeah. I like that how he had all the questions organized and asking everybody and taking inventory. Very, very structured.
I'm just surprised Sarah Beth didn't say, hold on. My body perceives my intelligence. I am not of a pawn caliber.
Taryn, what is the right answer? The HOH asks you, are you willing to be the pawn?
I feel like this is a question that we often ponder. I think ultimately, the correct answer is that there is no correct answer. If somebody's asking you this question and it's pointed, then you've already lost.
Yeah.
Because we already have sort of figured it out. Now, she says no. Ozza says no. Brittany says maybe. Derek F., Big D, ultimately says, I would prefer not to, but maybe if you need me to. Ultimately, it's more so like, it's more so, I think, like, how do you feel about it? Don't get stuck in that question. Instead of like adhering to the confines of that question, instead think about, okay, what can I offer this person so that they don't put me up on the block? Because that's one of the things that Derek X was looking for. And that might not be what most HOHs are looking for, but if you can appeal to that greed from them, then you can be like, okay, look, I really would prefer to not be put up on the block as a pawn. And I'm willing to put, you know, my money where my mouth is. What kind of deal can I offer you? Like, what can I give you if I don't touch the block as a pawn this week? Use somebody else instead. You know, I can promise you that I won't put you up for, you know, however many weeks. That's how Derek X would like to hear it. And that's what ultimately works for Ozza. But you know, whatever it is, you know, saying that, you know, if you just give me a little bit here, then I'll give you a lot. There's a return on this investment. I think that's probably the best way forward if you're put in that position, but it's still unlikely to work because most of the time, if you're asked, it's because it's already a done deal.
That is a great response. Kelsey, what do you think about maybe a little bit more simpler? How about like, no, thank you.
You know, it's that's direct. Polite. It is polite. You know, maybe the people that don't respond with politeness get put on the block.
Mm-hmm. Right. That I would. I just told somebody else I would be the pawn on their HOH. I would do it. I promised it to somebody else.
Something came up.
I can't. I'd like to, but I can't.
Like genuinely, apart from like the funny things that Brent was saying, that was the tone he took. Once you asked him, he was like, "Oh no, that's not. We're not going to go there. Actually, maybe somebody else, but surely, you know, I'm gonna take a pass on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, but no, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be the target, not the pawn, obviously. All right, let's talk about Big D. Asia, Big D, we learned can sleep anywhere,
anytime. I audibly laughed when he was sleeping in the nomination chairs. Like the effect.
Yes.
Like, okay, I can understand the couch. We all sleep on our couches from time to time.
Sure.
Sleeping out, maybe by the pool when he sleeps in the backyard, sitting upright. And then he has those glasses on as if, oh, I'm just sitting here. But it's very clear, mouth open, a very just still state. You are obviously asleep.
Yes.
But I thought it was just hilarious that he's exhausted. Mm-hmm. He needs a bedtime.
he's staying up too late.
He's staying up too late. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't hang.
Or yes, he's conditioning them to always think he's asleep so that they'll just like talk strategy around his just sleepy state. And it's like, haha.
Yes.
I was not asleep
this time. A long
now
con.
I'm running the game.
I like that. Sorry, I think Xavier described Big D as a big chocolatey cat. As the cat expert on the panel, do you find that this is cat behavior? And should he be, anybody be worried about him taking their breath away?
Now that I think about it, Big D kind of is like a big cat sometimes. Yeah. Like he's got the movements, the walk that he does, right? A little bit cat-like. He can be very cranky at times.
He kind of stays in one room, right?
He likes his spot, his particular spots. So he curls up, he can be very affectionate, but only on his own time. Genuinely, that's the thing about Big D. I think Xavier's spot on here.
Mm-hmm. Is this a future children's book?
What's it called?
The Big Chocolatey Cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my daughter would buy that book.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the real test will be, can we get Jacob Jones and Big D in a room together, and how scared will Jacob Jones be? Keep your mouth away from my mouth.
We don't need to explore that. Okay.
There's so many crossovers. Cats, boxing. That's a lot to unpack.
Next wrestling night, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Big D is going to go in and talk to Derek X. That he says that, you know, he can't be a pawn because his social game is too good, Taryn.
Yeah. So they kind of removed the full quote from here, but which is even better. He says, yeah, my social game is too good. I'm worried that people will take advantage and they'll start some he said, she said. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, Derek X? Derek X is like, no, actually, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean exactly? And he says, you know, they'll start like a he said, she said. You know, you saw what happened to Whitney. They'll start telling you about all the things that I've been saying. I mean, they'll start making up things that I've been saying about you. It was very, very funny. And then they at least did include the line of like, look, do I think a girl pawn would work? Yes, but not a guy pawn. No, not a guy pawn. Right.
All right. Eventually, we're going to see Azza and Brittany come up. Asia, I think that we've seen some growth from Azza here where when she says that, do you want to be the pawn? No, she does not. She does not want to be the pawn. And that her game has advanced in the last couple of weeks.
Right. I think that was hilarious that it was just an immediate no, even though there was some talk of her trying to volunteer herself being OK with going up. I like that in this direct conversation in that moment, she was a hard no. We know that Azza is constantly thinking about the game and how she can improve. And so this was a very active decision on her part.
Yeah,
it was not.
Do we have the quote that she gave to Derek X?
From the episode?
Yeah.
I don't have that quote. I know. So, I mean, in terms of her growth, mm-hmm. she was actually asked straight up by, Derek. Okay. You would prefer not to be a pawn, but, if like, would you choose to be the pawn for somebody else, like in the place of somebody else? 'Cause he knew that she had offered that before to Brittany. And Azza did actually turn that down. She said, you know what? You know, the game has changed for me. I'm not that person anymore, essentially. Mm-hmm. It really was, it was growth here from Azza. And, I was, you know, low bar, but, very pleased that she did not offer herself up in the place of Brittany.
Yeah. Baby steps is what we can expect.
We were talking earlier about what's the right response. And it's like of the two options of offering to go up in place of someone or not offering to go up in place of someone, I believe she chose correctly.
Yeah, there is a correct answer to that one. Right. You know, it's tough to get to, but you can find it.
Okay.
Proud of her.
And Brittany, she did not, Kelsey, seem to explode at the thought of being a pawn here for Derek X.
Yes, I was a little surprised. I would have expected a more emotional reaction from her, but I was pleasantly surprised about how she was logically walking it through with him. I appreciated that from her.
She said, when she was asked, like, who would you want to sit next to? Any king. Left it, they're like, very wide open.
Yeah. Third time's a charm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So maybe she's, like, experienced. Taryn, that's what she brings to the table. She knows how to handle it now.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple things here. I think Derek probably approaches it better than Kyland and Xavier did. He has a bit more of a softer touch. He's a little more communicative when it comes to, you know, what's going on and why he's using her as a pawn. And also I think that, you know, the first couple of times it was, you know, she saw herself in the game as one kind of player and then she got put up as a pawn and I was like, what? I'm a pawn. I'm pawn material. And then when it happened again, it was like, no, like now I'm definitely pawn material. And so I think she's come to kind of accept that role. She's gonna be able to take it a little easier now, because she's starting to see herself in that way, even though she's still trying to claw her way out of that sort of role.
Asia, we see that Hannah gets the last word with Derek X, at least as far as the episode is concerned, where that she's telling him, look, time to look at Christian. You can put up Brittany and Sarah Beth and we can get out Christian. Worst comes to worst, we can get out Sarah Beth.
Yeah, because that conversation they had 5 years, five hours.
They know each other.
Right. 5 hours before the eviction really worked out. So I'm going to hate for Sarah Beth to watch this back to see that that did not, a day later, she was not being not considered by Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, I thought we got a little bit of a wishy-washy moment from Derek X where he said that he wishes that he fell off the wall so he wouldn't have to make these decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how well the episode managed to convey this, but this really was a very difficult day for him going back and forth through all of the different options. He starts the day thinking, or he started the initial, he won HOH and was thinking Brittany and Big D, pawns for a Christian backdoor. And then Tiffany talked him into Brittany and Sarah Beth. And then when he talked to Sarah Beth, or sorry, when he talked to first, then he talked to Alyssa and Christian, and they kind of talked him out of targeting Christian. He was like, maybe I don't want to target Christian. Maybe I could target Sarah Beth. And then he talked to Sarah Beth and she talked him into not targeting her or putting her on the block at all. He was like, maybe I shouldn't put Sarah Beth on the block. She's on the bottom of the Kings and the Royal Flush. Maybe I should work with Sarah Beth. Maybe I should put up Brittany and Big D. And then he talked to Brittany and Azza, and Brittany was like, okay, maybe. And Azza said, you know, if you don't put me up, I'm going to give you at least 2 weeks of safety. And he said, perfect. Boom. Brittany and Big D. Oh, this makes it so much easier. Azza's not going to be able to put me up on block in retaliation. Then he talked to Big D, and Big D was like, I don't know, a girl pawn maybe, but not a guy pawn. And he was like, oh no, maybe I shouldn't put up Big D. And he just went around in circles all day and he couldn't figure out like what the right play was. And then he gets Hannah in there and he's just trying to bounce ideas off of her. And she's very clearly pushing her agenda, which is, if it's not Christian, it's Sarah Beth. And if it's not Sarah Beth, it's Christian. And he's like, oh, okay. I don't know. This is so, he's, at one point he was like, oh, why did I only watch 2 seasons of the show? It's so hard.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and Taryn, I know you've spoken so much about how important it is to win power in the game, but if Derek X didn't have a clear vision of what his HOH week was going to look like, would he have been better off to just get safety from Xavier and not become the HOH this week, where then he was sort of caught flat-footed this week without like a clear agenda of what he wanted to accomplish?
Definitely possible. You know, the HOH power, one of the reasons why people look at it as like, maybe you should throw it is because it is a double-edged sword. You have to wield it correctly. And somebody that doesn't know the show as well, can fall into the easy pitfalls that, you know, the rookie mistakes that people make when they're in power. And we have seen people just demolish their games when they're in charge of their own fate in the game once they get some power. And sometimes people are better off just, I mean, let fate decide at this point, because when you're in control, it's much worse. But most of the time, especially if they're a capable player, they're probably going to be able to steer their own ship a little bit better than fate would. And so having control of that fate, winning this power is mostly a good thing. Is it a good thing for Derek X? I don't know that it was. I think that maybe not winning this could have been a good spot for him. If he does end up taking out Christian, that is a big threat, a big competition threat out of the way. It's going to make him a lot more likely to win competitions, but that's not going to go unnoticed in the house. And he is going to become the biggest competition threat. And he is not exactly running this house. So there are some downfalls to this. And he really wasn't prepared for how to handle these conversations. He ends up spilling a lot of information to a lot of the people that he talks to. And he ends up putting himself into a corner with all of the things that he said. And it was a bit of a mistake. But it was also, I hope, a learning experience. And, you know, if he had shied away from this learning experience, then maybe he never would have learned how to properly wield power. And maybe if he does survive
the
fall of this, then he will be a better player for it and, will be able to better handle it in the future. So, you know, there's always pluses and minuses here.
But then thinking like bigger, if you think about the fact that he was still on the wall with Alyssa and Xavier, that means if either one of them would have won, it's guaranteed that all four kings are in the jury. And so that's a tough spot because it's like, okay, are you willing to do that when that's like kind of like the bigger agenda here?
All right, we're going to get the ultimate nominations. It is going to be Sarah Beth and it's going to be Brittany. Any reactions to the nominations that anybody wants to highlight?
The tears that came from Brittany's face were amazing. I was just like, good Lord, girl, this year you would have thought this was week one, first time being nominated. I know she told them like she was going to sell it. That was a lot.
Yeah. And we end the episode on, yes, he's nominated the women, but he's gunning for Christian. That's his real target here this week. A king will be dethroned.
Yeah. And hey, they're going to win the veto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else from the episode? Because I'd like to bring the live feed spoilers in to continue this conversation. Anything else from tonight's episode?
The announcer saying the house made the makeup artist take a powder.
Yes. What?
I've never heard that expression in my life. I was so confused. I was like, what's a powder?
Is he thinking like 20 years ago when women would always like use the powder to put on the foundation? Or I was very confused by that statement. And I don't know where he pulled that from.
Yeah.
Rob, your expert opinion,
I'm not sure if it's like an old Hollywood type thing or if it's like a go to the powder room.
That was, powder room was my thought, but it still doesn't make that much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a stretch.
So let's see.
He wanted to be talked about. He wanted to say something just confusing enough for us to discuss it. It was strategy. Mm-hmm. All strategy.
Yeah. Sometimes they're really reaching for these things. All right. So we're going to go ahead and bring in our live feeds. A busy weekend on the live feeds. We want to talk about everything that's going on. If you are leaving us, we'll be back on Wednesday night with our recap. But first, before we get to the live feeds, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. Now, if you are feeling depressed, struggling with relationships, the state of the world, having difficulty sleeping or meeting your goals, BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and can help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. This isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you might with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that, get this, they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/RJP. Visit BetterHelp.com/RJP and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. Let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes! All right, Taryn, I think we have maybe like the newsiest weekend to date on the Big Brother season.
Yes.
Maybe go back to week one. Yeah.
Breaking news. Take a powder apparently means to depart quickly, especially in order to avoid a difficult situation. So I guess in the 30s and 40s, people would often say that they were taking a powder to like leave without paying the bill.
Yes. And from what I understand, many a Big Brother contestants would continue to take powder throughout the long history of the Big Brother alumni.
Right.
All right. Ask Kate Baller about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the feeds. So part of what we were not informed of in this episode, but we may get in some following episodes, is that this push for Sarah Beth to be the pawn on the block this week is not only as a backup plan, but for Tiffany, it is perhaps a plan A that ideally she would like for Sarah Beth to go home this week. However, her plans were a little bit foiled here by one Brittany,
yeah,
who did in fact go and win the veto, and she showed all of them.
She did say in the episode tonight she was going to win the veto.
Heck yeah, man! Ooh, okay, cool.
Congrats, Brittany!
Yeah,
good for her.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So with Brittany coming down off the block, Christian is going to be the replacement nominee. And despite some talk from Tiffany about flipping the vote, no matter what happens, the plan is in place right now. Tiffany will support Derek X. She will not screw him over. And Christian will be the one going home on Thursday as of today. As
but it's
of right
only
now.
Sunday.
Yes, only Sunday. The Kings did turn on Sarah Beth, spearheaded by Xavier, who at the time thought that Big D was going to go up on the block, convinced them to vote Sarah Beth out over Big D. But Xavier has now been informed today that it is in fact going to be Christian on the block, which he is not pleased about, but seemingly has come to accept.
And is Christian and or Alyssa aware about the potential fallout or the potential plan tomorrow?
No. I mean, they're aware that it's possible. They've discussed the possibility. Christian is certainly concerned about it, but they are still working under the assumption that Big D will end up on the block. Sarah Beth is continuing to make them think that Xavier is now in on the deception, and nobody has really told them otherwise. They are also under the assumption that even if Derek X did try to make that move, that they would be okay because they have the queens, minus Kylan. They have Tiffany and Claire that would vote with them. Xavier and Alyssa would vote with Christian. And then all they would need is one more. Christian's going to try and bank on Brittany herself. And they even think maybe we could pull Hannah in. I mean, she wants Sarah Beth gone so bad. So they're hoping that they have a real shot at this. And it is possible that they would. Again, Tiffany does want Christian to stay and Sarah Beth to go, but she has, again, dedicated her support to Derek X at this time. And so it's not looking great.
Yeah, Asia, this is a very interesting week moving forward where that you can certainly don't have to squint that hard to see all sorts of different ways that this vote can flip to Christian staying and Sarah Beth going home.
Yes, that's why I was so excited to see Brittany win, not only because I just know that that's just a huge relief off of her shoulders, like for her sake, because she can't take another whole week on the block. We see how stressed she is about it. But the fact that, you know, Tiffany has one agenda, Derek X has another agenda, and we could see it play out to where it actually could be them butting heads this week. You could see, you know, obviously Kylan has his own agenda for wanting Sarah Beth to stay. So, you know, he's more so already in line with what Derek X wants. But I think we have potential for good feeds, because I know we've talked about the past few weeks how it was decided. Like once the veto was won, the week was decided, we're already a week ahead. Well, now we can live in this week. Now we can live, you know, see how it plays out day to day, stay up late, see how many times they change their mind. So it's nice to be living in the moment and not in the future. So that's what I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey, how do you feel about Christian's prospects by Thursday?
I don't know. I have to expect. I don't know. See, I keep thinking he's going to go home, but then I don't know. But I will say, Brent, you know, was not pawn material. Christian's really not pawn material. Like the fact that he had to go this direction, but I'm just so curious what's going to happen. I'm with Asia. It's fun to like see a real live, like, this week conversation. We're not talking weeks ahead of time yet. It's what's going to happen now.
Yeah, Taryn, and Christian and Alyssa, and really more so driven by Alyssa, have proven, like, time after time, like, they're out, like, making these deals left and right. I mean, that hasn't helped them this week, but, you know, how many times have they made, like, a Final Four deal with different people? And Sarah Beth, I just feel like I see her, like, not really campaigning hard.
Yeah. Luckily for Sarah Beth, she has Kylan working for her, who has been decently effective. I mean, it was really Kylan that put the idea of going after Christian into Derek X's head in the first place to get him off of the idea of targeting Sarah Beth. And Kylan has been going to work today. She did also propose a Final Four with herself, Kylan, Derek, and Hannah, which is essentially replacing the one that they had with Christian and Alyssa. And that is something that Derek is interested in. So she's set up decently well there. And most importantly, again, because Derek wants Sarah Beth to stay and wants Christian to go, he currently has the support of Tiffany, who is doing a lot of work today to help make sure that this is going to be locked in place. So it's really just going to be a matter of, does Tiffany change her mind at this point?
Which? But Tiffany's had one slip up this week. What if she accidentally says the wrong name in the diary room whenever it's time to vote? Yeah.
What if she votes?
Sadly, yeah. Votes.
Yeah.
Sadly, votes Sarah Beth.
Sarah Beth. Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. This is interesting. I think this is going to be very interesting ride this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much, like you said, it's only Sunday. There's so much time. I think it's a very real possibility for Tiffany to change her mind. And it does not take long for her to convince people to understand what the agenda needs to be for the week. So, you know, it could change a couple of times before Thursday. I'm ready to watch it all.
I really feel like, because if you're Tiffany, and I know that she has, you know, not a lot of love for Sarah Beth, but imagine that then, and then if you could still pull Sarah Beth out of this and then have, you know, Christian and Alyssa still in the house. And what are they doing? Coming after Derek X. I mean, it's this whole other diversion going on in the house, which is like such a great smokescreen for what Tiffany is trying to do, whether it's with the cookout or going in a different direction. It just seems like that it buys her like a few more weeks of nobody catching on to what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. And the primary problem here, I think, for Tiffany when it comes to making that move, because it certainly would be risky, but she's not afraid of risk. The problem is that she genuinely loves Derek X and she doesn't want to screw him over. Just today,
wasn't my fault.
Yes.
But, who voted for them? It's
something that she struggles with. Right before the episode started, she broke down to Kylan because she was talking about the fact that Derek X is not in the cookout and she thinks that's unfair and she feels really bad about it. And it really kills her that that this guy is you know, probably going to lose this game because of what they put together and that they didn't include him. She really doesn't want to screw him over.
But with the concept of the cookout, it's always someone can be invited to the cookout. Mm-hmm. So there are people that, you know, are, you know, that could happen.
And then if she can get Derek X in the cookout, if she can get Claire in the cookout, like suddenly she has like a lot of outs now and she doesn't have to go against the cookout.
Yes, if Claire had an HOH and she ended up making a move that was so admirable to Tiffany doesn't touch the cookout. It could be a situation where they're like, hey, you're invited to the cookout. It doesn't have to be verbal, but you know, you see it all the time on Twitter. Just look it up. Invited to the cookout. There are certain people that can be.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah. Just come on.
So look, that could be it. Solve all of Tiffany's problems.
The problem is that she has to get buy-in from everyone else. And, Aza would be sitting there, like, at the table, like, giving a stare.
No,
like,
one, yeah. Two, one,
here. Like, why is he getting like, a plate?
No plus ones. Yeah. She'd not be happy.
Not enough to go around right now. I wanted it.
Why is he in line right now for food?
Mm-hmm. He's going to take the last burger. I wanted that.
Yeah, we're going to need to see your invitation. All right. Anything else from the weekend that we want to touch on?
I think it could end up, if Tiffany changes her mind mm-hmm. and wants Sarah Beth to go, just yep. the amount of work that Kylan is putting in for Sarah Beth right now, in lieu of Sarah Beth herself, I could see it just even going up another level and inadvertently hurting his game mm-hmm. because I just know he'll go into overdrive because he's already like room to room, talking. And she's just kind of like, I think I'm okay because I know the plan. So we'll see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's going to be very just also like the other story to watch this week is that America is going to have a chance to vote. And I feel mm-hmm. like that if Christian goes out, like I feel like that Alyssa is really set up as a sympathetic figure to potentially win America's vote. If they're both in the House, like whatever sort of fan base they have, I think they're splitting the vote between the two of them. I think they're like less likely that one of them gets it if they stay. Kelsey, do you have any thoughts on who might end up being the favorite going into next week to win America's vote?
I don't know, because I would have said Derek X, but I wonder if now he's not enough of an underdog.
Yeah, I think this is something like really genuinely worth thinking about with each episode that comes by, because I mean, this episode is whatever the one that's going to matter the most is the one right before the vote. Like that's the one that's going to influence if they want the vote to go to one person, yeah. They can make that happen. We've seen that happen.
Big Brother Canada, certainly. Yeah.
This episode though, to me felt very Derek X-y. It felt very much like we're rooting for him to dethrone a king. And it's like the plucky underdog making a big move that we're very happy about. This is the Jessica, you know, on season 21. So I don't know.
Interestingly, like if the HOH does not go his way, where then the House doesn't do what he wants and his HOH is a disaster, I think that sympathy also could help him potentially get the... Although, in that instance that Christian and Alyssa would stay, Sarah Beth would be gone. Maybe Derek X gets the America's vote.
Very real possibility.
All right, let's take some questions from the listeners. Okay, let's start with Alex. Do you think that Xavier was genuine about wanting to keep his former Kings team safe when he approached Derek X? Yeah,
if Xavier had his way this week, Brittany would be the one to go home. And if Brittany, which she did, won the veto, then Sarah Beth was his secondary target. So obviously not wanting to protect the Kings in that regard. But ideally, he wanted Brittany out.
Okay. All right. How about the question from Azza's immovable olive? Is taking out Christian a mistake for Derek X? Asia, what do you think about this? Is that the right target that Derek X should be focused on?
So I can understand both sides of it where, okay, you take out Christian, your target becomes bigger because now you're the one winning all the comps. But that same argument can be made for why you should take out Christian, because you're going to be in a position where you do need to win comps. And if Christian is there, he's in your way. So you're going to need to win those competitions. So I personally think this week specifically is the best week to get him out, since it's a week before jury. So because you don't want someone like Christian in jury who would support a king no matter what, supports Alyssa no matter what, and can beat you in any, or, I mean, he hasn't proven it yet in a total mental comp, but he can beat you in most comps. So I think it's the right move this week.
Okay. The great Emily Spireman wants to know, Taryn, when did the scene actually happen where Hannah found out about the royal flush?
That was very accurate, actually. It was the night that he won the HOH, and they were talking. So they played that out pretty chronologically.
Okay. All right. Kelsey, I know this is something that you were concerned about before the episode started. Gobble Gobble says, what was Sarah Beth talking about in the diary room during the HOH competition before she fell? It sounded like an exercise I never heard of.
Same, gobble, gobble, same. I did not know what that word was. Asia had to help me out with it. Asia, how do you pronounce it? Shavasana. Yes.
Our research department looked it up. The final resting pose at the end of almost every yoga practice.
It's my favorite part of yoga.
Yes.
Yes.
What does that say that it's your favorite part when it's done?
Very true.
So do you like yoga?
Well, I work out at a place where we do cycling, strength, and yoga. So of the three, it's my least favorite because I'm not the best at it. And so when they're like, all right, lay down, get in your final resting pose, which I'm learning now is the Shavasana.
Yeah.
That I'm so
Derek F can do it without the final resting pose.
True.
He's a master yogi, able to rest in any pose.
Right. Gets right to the end.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Smart. Okay. Derek's pink headband was does Derek X have a case of HOH-itis? Would you say that this is a clinical case of the HOH-itis, Taryn?
No, I don't think it at all, actually. I mean, I think it would be hard for Derek to have HOH-itis. I mean, he's such a humble guy and so sort of like soft-spoken. Of anybody that's that I've seen be HOH this season, I think by far the least.
Okay.
Corinne, so you're saying... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
He has not referred to the pink headband as a crown?
Not quite.
That's what we're saying? Okay. Just a headband.
Yeah, just a mandana. Okay. Corinne wants to know, what was the gummy bear thing mentioned? Who was using them to count? What were they counting? Did they mention the gummy bears in the episode?
They didn't.
Yeah. Okay.
They felt like they skipped right over it. He was using the gummy bears that were definitely not Sour Patch Kids to remember the questions that he was asking, and then also to remember the answers that he was getting.
Yeah. All right. And there you have it. Big Brother 23 as of Sunday night. Does anybody else have anything else about the week to come?
It's it might be fun. It might be locked in place from this point forward. We will likely get some interesting stuff tomorrow when the veto ceremony happens. Sarah Beth is anticipating a Keisha's birthday 2.0. I would not go that far, but it is going to be her birthday. And Christian is probably going to feel very betrayed, and they're going to try and eat cake.
Sarah Beth's birthday tomorrow?
Sarah Beth's birthday, yeah.
Okay. Taryn, just one other question from me. If Christian does indeed go home, should we expect Alyssa to be going out the door right after him? Or do you think that it will be a situation where Alyssa will be able to reintegrate into some other group?
Alyssa should be able to reintegrate somewhat. They actually did just have this conversation earlier today, but... It may not be for too long, though, and the problem is that it might depend on how she reacts and how she acts for the rest of the week. There's a chance that she, as Christian goes, she holds on and, damages her game on the way down, which is not to say that she shouldn't try to save him, but just don't damage your game in trying to do so. If she holds grudges and pisses people off and ruins relationships, then that could be very bad for her. But if she doesn't do those things, then I think she's in a decent position to reintegrate for a little while, at least until the cookout, sends her home if they stay together. But she could also just be a casualty of, we don't really know what to do. I don't have any targets. I might as well just throw the rest of this one up.
Yeah.
That would be not great for her. But if I had to choose one, I would say she's more likely to reintegrate.
And I don't know if anybody is likely to give them any sympathy, but it is kind of a jerk move to split up the showmance the week before the jury, where then let's send Christian out and then send Alyssa to the jury for the next 2 months.
Hey, but Rob, they're not a showmance.
Because they're not a showmance. So they might have to come clean and then get in a room. Like, we have something to admit. Like, we've actually been a showmance this entire season.
If only you told us, we wouldn't have done this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Their fault.
Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. And look at this. On Monday, Jacob Jones is going to be back. Boy, Jacob Jones set the world on fire on last Monday's live feed update. Let's see what happens this week when he's back to join Taryn for another Monday live feed update, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Maybe he'll have some stories also about his experience at the Big Brother boxing event.
Yeah, he can give us his opinion on the Big D cat theory, mm-hmm. And also hopefully shed some light on why Jose wants to fight Big D.
Mm-hmm. All right, look for that on Monday morning, and then later on Monday, the slop will be back at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Puya Zambakili will join me for our patron-only podcast talking about all the nonsense. We're going to be going all in talking about Big Brother boxing from over the weekend. Matt and Mari from the Wrestling Wrap-Up will join us. We'll hear from Chappelle and Jacob Jones also to tell some of their stories from the weekend on the slop, plus all the other Big Brother nonsense going on amongst the alumni and even in the Big Brother house. On Tuesday night, it's going to be the Stock Watch is back on the round table with Melissa. And it's always fun when Aman joins the panel to see what Aman's ratings are going to be this week, Taryn.
Yes. What will Aman do next? Is a great question to ask.
Yes.
If I had known it was Aman, I would have kept my Tiffany stock. But I messed up. I sold it.
Who's he going to give a 10-2 next? Which one's it going to be?
All right. Check that out on Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday night, we've got a real treat for you. Rachel Swindler, great friend of the podcast, is going to be back with Taryn and I after the Wednesday night episode. So we'll have a lot to talk about from the Power of Veto competition. Always fun when Rachel Swindler from BB20 stops by the podcast. That'll be on Wednesday night. Taryn, looking forward to catching up with Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel's great. Very excited to hear what she's got to say. She's always so involved in the community, and it'll be good to hear from her.
Yep, and she was the first one to say, Brent slid into my DMs.
Yeah, ask her if Brent has shot a second bullet with the Instagram, now that he's been on the show.
Yeah. All right, so we'll be live on Wednesday night. And then last night, somehow, this guy, Taryn, found time to watch Survivor Winners at War this week and talk about it with Shannon Gus. We had a really great time talking about the pros and cons. The most controversial entry in the ranking so far, Winners at War, at 7th place. I got so many tweets this week. It shouldn't be 7th place. Oh, really? All right, listen to the podcast and then tell us what you think. Actually, you know, or just listen to the podcast. You don't have to keep telling us what you think. You already told us. Yeah. We had a great time. Taryn and Shannon were great guests to have talk with us about the 7th place season of all time, Winners at War, and we will continue onward with the Survivor Countdown. When I talk about the 6th best season of all time, it's Survivor David versus Goliath when Chappelle and Jason Reed join me on Tuesday night as we're getting into the home stretch of the Survivor Top 40 Countdown.
My MTV Cribs posse.
Yes, yes, and we'll be back talking MTV Cribs again very soon. Little spoiler alert for what's to come. Of course, that we'll have a RHAP rewind for you this week where Lavina Pavel joined Chappelle and myself to talk about The Simple Life. We talked about Paris and Nicole working at Sonic, not the Big Brother burger joint. Kelsey, do you ever get the car chicken from Sonic?
I do. I do. I actually, I like their tater tots. We get some car tater tots a lot. Those are nice because they're compact and you're not going to have half a fry on the floor. So a car tater tot from Sonic is a great way to go too.
Okay. Check that out on Monday night over on the RHAP Rewind. Asia, can you tell us what's been going on Married at First Sight?
Yeah, so this season has been pretty good so far. We finally saw all of the weddings after three episodes because they love to drag things out. They drag it out, which is why I would highly recommend listening to the podcast, even if you don't watch the show, because it's a 2-hour commitment each week. So I would say definitely listen to the podcast if you're looking for something entertaining. They matched up five couples. It's in Houston this season. So that's exciting because I recognize places on the show. I would say the most interesting thing thus far is that they matched a couple where the bride said, "Hey, you know, I told the experts that I was like big on personality and like what's inside, and I don't really care about looks." And they got it to a T. It's like, oh my gosh.
Okay.
She told that to her groom, and he was like, oh my gosh, I think she's not attracted to me. Mm-hmm. So very, very interesting show. So definitely catch us covering season 13. We're covering it weekly, Amy and I. So it's been a blast so far.
Okay. Then the wrestling wrap up was back, and Jenny Autumn stopped by to talk with Mari and Matt on the wrestling wrap up. Definitely want to check that one out to hear what Jenny Autumn has to say about everything going on in the world of wrestling this weekend. And of course, you can check out everything we have going on in our patron podcast feed, The Slop, the BBQ&A with Taryn, the feedback shows for the Survivor Top 40 Countdown, and the Patron 5 for 5. We'll actually be doing the patron feedback show for Survivor Winners at War on Monday and another one on Thursday. So really just a jam-packed patron podcast feed and much more over at robinsonwebsite.com/patron. Of course, thanks to our sponsors. You can always find out what they are offering to the listeners at robinsonwebsite.com/offers. And then you can check out our YouTube channel, hit subscribe, hit that bell to be notified whenever we go live with a podcast. And then follow us on social media, where you can still watch Chappelle and Jacob Jones go down to the Big Brother boxing event at RHAP Grams. Those guys did an incredible job. We got to find more events to send them to. Although Asia, you and Kelsey, I feel like are that maybe that look, we might have to send you two to an event next.
That's an awesome idea. For people that don't know, Kelsey and I go way back, 8 years at this point. Mm-hmm. We started our first job out of college at the same company and became friends. And look at us now.
And we went to RHAP events together.
Taryn, we did.
Did you know? Yes. They knew each other.
Oh, we got to get them out.
It's a twist.
Yes. Yes. All right.
You know, Claire thought that with America's Couple, there was also going to be an America's Friendship. We just found it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bingo.
Kelsey, where can people keep up with you?
Well, I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram and I'm in Houston. So if you see me walking around, say hello.
Yeah, do you like that? You know, people come up and say hello to you from the podcast.
It's never happened. But if it were, I would say, well, hi. So yeah. Nice to meet you. I'm at a lot of parks, kids' playgrounds. That sounds weird as I'm saying it. But
she's a mom, children, okay? So. It's normal for her to be there. It's not just randomly hanging out at the park. All right, well, Kelsey, thank you so much for being back with us tonight. Asia, where can people keep up with you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Like I said, I'm co-hosting the Married at First Sight wrap up. We are pushing it out weekly, so we're covering each and every episode. So definitely come check it out. I'll also be on the Bachelorette wrap up this week.
A home and home with Amy.
Yes, with Amy and Haley, and we will talk about the finale. So I'm very excited because this has been a pretty interesting season, to say the least. So definitely check that out.
Okay. All right. And of course, Taryn, what is next for you?
Well, you can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I just played Among Us again, finally, today.
Were you rusty?
I was a little rusty, yeah. But I did, you know, we closed out the day with a great round with Amon. We finally sort of redeemed ourselves from the sequester hidden message slip up. We were able to communicate, and we took it home. So it was a good time. So you can find it. You can still watch it back over on twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And I'll be back tomorrow, of course, to update you on everything that's happening on the Big Brother 23 live feeds today. There's quite a lot to go through already. So that'll be fun. And then, yeah, just, you know, more podcasts, more streams, all over the place.
We're not going to stop. We're going to keep on coming with, more and more podcasts every day, people. All right. Clear out some space on your phone. All right. Take care, everybody. We'll be back, with much more this week. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.